Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Okay, everybody's looking sharp. The preparation that Sunday morning involves is beyond our clothes and the physical, right? Is that right? Edifying Assembly, is that right? So, as much as you spend a lot of time to look good or exceptionally good on Sunday, for someone like me, Sunday is the only time in the week I try to take a lot of, at least extra time to dress up, right? And I know that that's what happens to a lot of you here. But the preparation for Sunday morning is beyond this clothes. Of course, if you follow the series Qualification for the Supernatural, what is the attraction or the major attraction magnet for the supernatural? What is it? Desire and what? Desire and honor. So desire receives the best of God, meaning that you must not take any service casually. It was emphasized a lot in that series. That imagine coming to every service and treating it with the honor of a special or Holy Ghost meeting. You know, when you're preparing for a Holy Ghost meeting and you know, oh, today this is what you, there is this eagerness that you have. That should not be limited to special meetings. Every time believers are gathered is a Holy Ghost meeting. Is a believer's meeting, is power meeting, is special meeting. So your preparation for that, your mental and spiritual preparation for that, must start even before you come here. The way you treat the service shows in your attitude. When you are eager or you are ready to be blessed and you are very sure and you are assured that whatever happens here will bless you, it shows. It shows in how intentional you are about every part of the service. Not just the word. Even in prayers. You're to pray for 5 minutes. That's eagerness shows. That desire shows. That honor you have for the meeting shows. So in our preparation for meetings, ensure first and foremost you understand what that meeting is for and that it's going to bless you. You're going to live better. You want to be better. That is why you came here, not to mark calendar. There are many believers today that see not going to church on Sunday as a sin. For them, they cannot do it. It's like, why? If you ask them, why are you going to church? They might not be able to explain. They might not know anything. Just know that on Sunday morning, you have to be in church. Because that should not be you. You don't come to church to mark register. You come because you know what it's meant for and what it would do to you. And with that consciousness, you anticipate and participate in such meetings. Okay? Are we blessed? All right, let's start. So we are going to talk about Heed Your Hearing Part 2. Heed Your Hearing Part 2. I'm sure most of us were here last week, Sunday, when we discussed it the first time. I'm sure you remember the things we said and where the emphasis was that you should ensure you do not hear what the person is not saying. Because we saw that hearing is just, it goes beyond the fact that you could pick up the sound with your ears. No, that you comprehend the meaning or the intention of what the person is trying to say. You make sense out of what he's saying. And the person's sense, not the one you give to it. Remember that? And we said we saw the things that will make you misinterpret what the person is saying. Whether you already have a preconceived mindset already, you already think about something. So even if the person is saying something, no matter how basic, there's the tendency to be misinterpreted, not because of the person, but because of how you are hearing. So that's why we focus on that you should hear very well. And that was the first emphasis, take heed to hear. And we saw the consequences of not hearing properly. We saw how men have, in fact, imprisoned murderers just because they did not hear well, right? We saw those examples in scripture. And we, I'm sure we have, you heard well that one, and you have taken appropriate dressing. But today we're going to look further into that. We're going to look at the part two. All right. So the proof of correct hearing is that you are learning correctly. Because hearing transcends to learning. So once you have heard well, you should also learn well. You should also learn well. Why hearing correctly is emphasized is so that you can learn well, you can know the right things and do it accordingly. Now, what is learning? What is learning? Okay. The word learning as used in the Bible from the Greek word mathano, M-A-N-C-H-A-N-O. Here we look at different shades of meaning that it has. One, it means to increase one's knowledge. Increase knowledge, increase your knowledge, to increase one's knowledge, to increase a person's knowledge. It also means to be informed, to hear and to be informed. And this, pay attention to this in particular, to learn by use and practice. To learn by use and practice, which means to be in the habit of something, to be in the habit of, or to be accustomed to something. To be in the habit or to be accustomed. That means you learn by use and practice. So you see the difference now, not just what you've heard or you've heard correctly, but by use and practice, it becomes a habit. You become accustomed to it. So this depicts a knowledge that has become an integral part of you. This learning depicts knowledge that has become an integral part of you, that has become a part of you. Part of you. Learning that has become a part of you. Hallelujah. So, automatically, when you hear well and you understand, it is supposed to progress to usage. You've heard correctly, you've understood it, it should progress to usage. That means you should use that knowledge. That applied knowledge. You apply the knowledge until it becomes a part of you. Until it forms a part of your action. That is when we can say that a person has learned. So let's turn our Bible to John 6. We'll see how Jesus used an example here. Okay. Because we still see, we read this last week, and we saw how Jesus was trying to explain something to the Jews over and over again, and the simple words he was using and saying, they still could not pick it because of what they said. But we just want to use just a verse. That's the context of what he was saying, but look at the verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that had heard and had learned of the Father cometh unto me. Every man, therefore, that had heard and had learned of the Father cometh unto me. So that learned there is what the word we have just described. So we see the emphasis Jesus placed, hearing and learning. You see it? Did you see it? All right, so that was an example where emphasis was on learning. So if you have heard well and you have learned well, you will definitely act accordingly. See, every man that has heard and learned will definitely come to me. So the persons that have not, the proper action has not reflected on them is because they've not learned well. They've not learned of the Father. All right, so it is what you have learned that can shape your conduct. It is what you have learned, not just what you heard, but it's what you have applied, what you have made a part of you that can shape your conduct. And this shaping of conduct is the ultimate goal in learning. The shaping of your conduct, the rearranging of your conduct, the structuring of your actions is the ultimate goal, is the desired end in learning. So when we are learning and learning and learning, or when we are hearing words as they have been taught and we are hearing it correctly, the ultimate goal or the desire of the person teaching is that it affects your actions, that your conduct reflects what you have learned. That is when we can say you have learned. Otherwise, there is no proof that you are hearing correctly or you have learned. So a person can say, I am coming to church regularly. I have not missed any sermon. My notes are up to date. But when we cannot see the corresponding actions of what is being taught in the person's action, what do we say? He has not learned. Even if he sits in church every time and looks at me, he's very intently, way Okwe is looking at me right now, and she's always nodding. Anytime I'm saying, right on, oh yeah, oh right on, oh glory, oh you have said it, oh only, in fact, only you have the words, you know, excite us, people that rejoice. Even if that, we cannot be carried away to say, this person picked the word. Oh, this person understood. No. Until we see a corresponding reflection in your actions, we cannot say for a certainty that you have learned. All right. So, we've seen that learning is supposed to shape your actions because this is actually what can profit you. Let's see an example in Philippians. Let's see how Paul made reference to himself and to his disciples in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Are you there? Because we all have to see this. Philippians 4, read again from verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. This is Paul giving an example of something that he has learned, something that has become a part of me. He said, I have learned, or I am accustomed to being content in whatever state I am. In reference, what he was talking about there is that, if you see, read down, you will see it, that whether he has learned to abase and to abound, that means whether he has money or he does not have money, whether things are working well, whether there are persecutions up and down, he has learned to be content. So, describing his own action. I have not just heard, or I'm not just teaching, or I've not just read that it is good to, for contentment as a believer. No. I am accustomed to it. This is my lifestyle. In any way, I am content. You know, we know, believers know that. You know by head knowledge, right? You are supposed to be content. Abi, don't you know? But can you say that you have learned to be content? Can you really say that the actions or the presence or the lack thereof of financial or whatever resources does not affect you? Can you say that? Don't worry, I'm not calling your name. Before you're looking at me, I'm smiling like, don't call me. I'm not calling your name. Don't worry, this one is just straight teaching. Apart from Eritito, which I'll definitely call his name. So, Paul described himself that I have learned, this is what I do. In whatever state I am content. And he's telling them that the same thing that you have seen in me, you also do. This, until you do it, I cannot guarantee that you have learned. So when we see your actions, for example, if you teach about joy, I was trying to bait them yesterday during the video, and I know they were all tired and exhausted, and I said, at the final assembly, rejoice. And then you see persons who were struggling or trying to receive strength. From the, because they've prayed and sleep was, this side of their brain was sleep, this other side was tiredness, there was nothing again. And I want deliberately said that to see if they have actually learned, right? That in rejoicing is not based on external circumstances. That's what we learned on Sunday. So should you have been able to rejoice well, even in the midst of your tiredness? So have you learned it? No, you have not. No, you have not. You have not. That was just a practical example to show you that learning must be something that you know, habits, something that you're accustomed to. For example, isn't it in law school, they taught you how to use fork and knife, right? They will teach you like a class that you, when you want to eat chicken, you carry your fork should be on your left hand, your knife should be on the right hand. So you hold down the chicken with the fork, and then you use the knife to cut it down, and then you cut it in bits, and then pick it up and eat, right? So they teach you, and they tell you the first course will come like this, the second course will come like this, the third course will come like this. Don't do this, don't do that. Thank you. Of course, many of us had to learn. After my first dinner, I messed up, and as I was trying to eat the chicken and cut it, it fell off from my plate and bounced to the floor. But for the second dinner, I said I must be better. So somebody took it upon himself to be buying me chicken almost every week so that I could just be learning. And I did. So the next dinner, I was able to eat it well. If you give me that, I might be able to. But since then and now, I can count the number of times I've used my fork and knife to eat chicken. I've basically used it every time. So have you learned? Is this something that is accustomed? Am I accustomed to it? Is it a part of me? No. For example, I still don't understand that some people will be using fork and knife or fork to eat eba or swallow. It is an insult on the traditional meal. But I had a friend when I was in school. She went to one of these body secondary schools that they never ate bodies boarding schools, that you don't eat with your hands. So no matter what you are eating, even bread, you must eat it with cutlery. So she's so used to it that she does not know when she unconsciously reaches for a fork to eat swallow. While me, I'm looking at her like you're wasting this thing. But is it her fault? No, she has learned it because she was in that kind of environment for about 6 years and they had to do it repeatedly until it became a part of her. So even though I can say, I also learned how to use fork and knife to eat chicken. I know how to use it. But have I learned it? Is it a part of me? No, that's the difference. The things you learn, the teachings, are supposed to be something that becomes a habit, something that you are accustomed to, that you can do any time of the day. Anytime. You don't need extra coaching or you don't need extra instructions. It just comes out naturally because it's now a part of you. And this Paul gave an example of himself saying, I know how to abase and to abound. I have learned in whatever situation to be content. And then he told them in verse 9 that the same things you have seen me here, you have heard from me and you have learned, the same thing do, and the God of peace will be with you. So believers are supposed to do and act as they have learned. He said the same thing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. When he said to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. So that fully known is saying that you have actually known me. Believers are supposed to not just observe what is being taught or observe their pastor's way of life, but they are supposed to actually do it and incorporate it as part of what they've learned. Learning must shape your actions. Otherwise, it is not learning. Learning must shape your actions. Otherwise, it is not learning. Ephesians 4. Learning must shape your actions. Otherwise, it is not learning. If it has not reflected in your actions, then it is not learning. Ephesians 4, if you read from verse 17, Paul saying, this I say therefore and testifying the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20 now, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then he went down to verse 32 to show or to retell them what should now be their actions, their corresponding actions, if they have properly learned Christ. Do you see it? All right, let me just read two more verses for you. Wherefore, putting away lying, verse 25 now, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for you are all members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Of course, you know this, discern not to be angry. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Instructions down to verse 32. To show that if you have actually learned Christ, you see when he said in verse 20, that these actions of the Gentiles, it is not the way you have learned. This is not what you saw or we have taught you concerning Christ. And if indeed you have learned, if you have actually learned well, then this should be your actions. This should be your corresponding actions. Did you see it there? Did you see it? To show you clearly that if truly, so long as you have learned, your actions must reflect it. Otherwise, you have not learned. Wow. Otherwise, you have not learned. So, if they have learned Christ, it will show in their conduct and in their actions, and they will definitely act differently from others who are of the contrary part. Those he has described in verse 17 to 19. Their actions will definitely be different than those people because they have learned Christ. Because they have learned well. All right. So that means that a believer will. That means that a believer that is exhibiting traits contrary to his nature has not learned. Is that correct? Can we reach that conclusion? So you see, a believer that still acts wrongly has not fully learned. Has not fully learned. Has actually not learned. Even if he has stayed in church for years, even if he has all the sermon notes, even if he can quote the words or the examples used by the teacher, until there's a corresponding reflection in your actions, you have not learned. Such a person cannot be an example of the believer in words, in doctrine, in conversation. You cannot be that. Cannot be that. All right, so there are no breaks from learning, no holiday. For example, we saw that example I gave you concerning myself and my friend. If years later, even though it took us 6 years to incorporate that, and then even while we were in university, she kept reflecting that. If, for example, that was over 10 years ago, we've all graduated, everybody has left. If she stays in another environment where she had to now start eating to wash in kafar with her hands, would that previous habit die? Would it die? Kevin said no. If, for example, like I said, she, as I went in school, as a 2005 to 20, whatever, when we were there, she was always eating with cutleries. If marriage has taken her to different places, maybe an interior village, where she does not have access to those things, and now she has to blend into the community that she is, and that's where she is now. And she, after like 3 years staying there, she comes out of town one day to visit me, for example. Would she automatically reach out for cutlery the way she used to do before? So once you take a break from something that you're accustomed to, another thing will feel it. That is why in learning, there are no breaks. There are no holidays. Otherwise, another habit will form. Because by the time you take a break from the proper learning, you are learning something else, which will automatically overturn these habits that you have. That is why Paul could say, evil communication corrupts good habits, good manners, good conversation, good way of life. It can be changed. It can be changed. Me too, that I'm not used to cutlery. If I go to a place, a very sophisticated place today, and I'm mandated to always use cutlery, and I stayed there for 4 years, what will happen? I will change. It will now become a part of me until I go to another environment where those things no longer apply. That is why you must always be in an environment where you can learn properly. It is the kind of attitude or actions that you want to reflect. That is the kind of environment you must stay with. Because no matter how much you think that, oh, yes, now in the final assembly, we'll pray. I am now used to prayer. I'm used to anticipating vigil at least twice a month. We can do long stretch of prayers. We can come for 12 hours. We can come for 15 hours. In fact, we can do 40 hours and just stay for 3 days. Even if you have been in this kind of environment for 3 years, what will happen if you go to another place and then there is no training like this? After 1 year, do you think you will be able to easily pray 6 hours stretch? It cannot work. That is why there is no break from learning. There is no holiday. You are to continue in what you have learned. 2 Timothy, you must continue in it. You don't say, I have a particular amount of time. Like, for example, some of us that were together in Zamfara, and because we were there, people use their youth service. They say, okay, this is my youth service. I want you to learn the word. I want you to serve God. And because you don't have so much pressure at that time, you just do youth service with all your strength. And then all the rural get you are there. Every area you are going. Immediately you leave NYC. A person should think that because of how active you were, that when we see you in 3 years' time, you should also be this hard. But you go to a church where they don't even encourage such things, what will happen to you? And of course, when you have a job that becomes tedious and takes your attention away, you will be supposed, all your testimonies concerning ministry will be in the past tense. When I was this, I was active. When I was, what changed? The environment. The environment. So it's not learning or proper learning or good habits. It's not for a particular frame of your life. It's not for when you are still single, or it's not for when you have time. It is something that you should do all your life. And that is the only way to check that or to guarantee that, is that you continue in such learning. It should be an aberration for someone to leave this kind of training and then go to a place where you are seeing the exact opposite and you are comfortable there. In 1 year, we will not recognize you. You will start singing, "There is something that makes me come into your presence. I can guarantee it." Hallelujah. All right, so 2 Timothy, that's what I said we should open to, right? Let's see. 2 Timothy 3:14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned." Now, Paul was telling Timothy, of course, that's where I've been trying to emphasize, that there are no breaks from learning. You must continue in it. Otherwise, if you don't continue, there will be a gap and there will be a serious 360 turnaround of what you have learned. Now, Paul is telling Timothy that you must continue in this. And these things that you have learned and are assured of. And he said something profound. Knowing of whom you have learned. Meaning that there must be a trust you have in your teacher. There must be a trust. See Timothy, what Paul said. Let's read again. Let's read together. Everybody, let's go. And has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. You should know who you learned it from. You should be very confident about your teacher. These same things that you have learned, knowing of whom, knowing the person that you actually learned from, knowing the person that taught you, you should have confidence in that. If you do not have confidence in what you are, the person that has taught you, believe me, there will be no confidence to continue in that teaching. Because what is the guarantee that you go somewhere else and hear something entirely different? What is the guarantee that you will not jump what you have learned to pick up something new? What's the guarantee? You understand? That is why we know, of course, when we say choosing a local church is your choice, right? It's your choice. That means it's not just something that you just see, my house is like this. Okay, you calculate transport fare to go to church. This church that is at my backyard, at least 15-hour bike can take me if I don't want to sweat. Then if I don't have 15 hours, I can still trek. 5 minutes up there, let me go to that one. That cannot be a reason for choosing a local assembly. You should choose a local assembly because you are sure that they honor and esteem the work of redemption, that is the word of truth, and teach that. And all they do, the things of the Spirit, is guided by that. And when you have such confidence in that assembly and confidence in who is teaching it, it should show. So you should not be in a hurry to take something contrary, except you can really prove it from scriptures. It is an aberration when you just see people say, "This pastor says this one, they grab it. This one says this one, they grab it. This one says," as in 50 pastors say one, explain one scripture 50 different ways, and you grab all in the name of honor. Have you not seen such persons? He's a man of God, he cannot lie. What do you, is that the way you explain it? Bring it, sir. No problem. I take it. How do you explain it? Bring it, sir. No problem, sir. It's a lack of, I don't know. It's actually, you think you are showing honor, but it's actually a show of dishonor. A believer should not do that. You must trust, except you don't have confidence in who is teaching you. You must trust your pastor or your teacher and be confident enough in his instructions. So know that this one is sure. Because if you don't have such attitude, then, my dear, you need a new pastor. You need a new pastor. That is just the truth. Because being in people that wrote the first exams, being in a local assembly where you do not fully agree with what is being taught, it will affect your what? It will affect your submission. So if you are there and you are still sifting, what are they saying? You go to church with a sieve, that filter. You just go to church with a filter. As you're saying it, pour, just before you just filter. At the end of the day, what remains? You know how they filter things now? You take that one and say, okay, all those other things he has said is his own. This is the one I choose to take. Of course, people are in such assemblies in the name of what is it called? You want to help them or you want to change them, and then you go to church where all the pastor has said, in fact, for a full service, you can't pick one thing correctly, or you come out of church angry. You are the one that cost yourself. Of course, you are, that's your problem. We're not talking about such assemblies. We're talking about assemblies where you know and you're guaranteed that the word is taught accurately. In such places, if you still can see things, that instructions that you receive, if you still tell you this one, and you say, okay, I've been told 50 things, all right, I'll take 23. This other one does not apply to me. This one, it applies to me, but not yet time. I'll pick it up in 1 year time. This one, you know, you just mentally do that. Then you need a new church. You need a new pastor. You cannot grow there. You must be confident and be assured of who you have learned something from. All right, so learning, we have said that learning must affect, I keep saying this, and I will not, that is the focus of today's teaching. Learning must shape your conduct. Learning must shape your actions. It must affect it. It must affect it. 1 Timothy 4:6. This is what Paul is trying to tell Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now, we'll focus on that attained. See what Paul was telling Timothy? That if you do these things, then you'll be a good minister. Because you are able to nourish men up to what you have attained. That means, nemo that called on a bet, as we say, you cannot give what you do not have. That means, if you have not attained something, it will be foolishness or just a waste of time to try and bring up people into that same thing. You are to bring up men into what you have attained. That is why it is very, Erin Chito, are you listening to me? That is why it is very necessary that learning becomes a part of you. Because it is what you have learned, it's what you are accustomed to, that is what you can pass on. That is why Paul could tell them in Philippians 4, where we read, that me, I have learned to be this. So also, I can now tell you, you see the instruction he gave them in 2 Thessalonians 3, when he was telling them about the fact that who does not walk should not eat. See, you have seen us, how we walked with our own hands. We showed you as an example. Meaning, what it is, what you have attained, that is what you can pass on. Nothing else. You don't do head knowledge, and then you are not teaching people head knowledge, and you expect them to be grounded. Who is fooling who? Who is fooling who? Let's see that word attained. That's what. All right. Are you ready? Right? All right. PARAKOLOUTHEO. All right. You can pronounce it for the Greek scholars here. Yeah. Thank you. All right. It means to follow closely. Always. To follow closely. Always. We'll see the different shades of meaning so that you can get it clearly. One meaning is to follow up a thing in mind. To follow up a thing in your mind so as to attain the knowledge of it. To follow up a thing in mind so as to attain to the knowledge of it. Another shade of meaning, number two, to understand. To follow a matter up or to trace its course. To follow a matter up or to trace its course. That's the journey, how it moves, how it progresses, to trace its course. Number three, to examine something thoroughly or to investigate something. Because you know when you are investigating something, no part goes missing. You pick even the small part that you think is not inconsequential, you take it all because everything adds to the total understanding. All right, to examine thoroughly or to investigate. Then number four, to follow faithfully a standard or rule. To follow faithfully a standard or rule or to conform oneself to. To conform oneself to it. Now, go through what you just wrote. From the very beginning, to follow up a thing in mind so as to attain the knowledge of it. Just read through what you read. To understand, to follow a matter up, to trace its course, to examine thoroughly, to investigate, to follow faithfully a standard or rule, or to conform yourself to something. Can you see that? That is the meaning of attain. So it is the learning that as this has happened to you that you can pass on to others. What does it mean to follow up a matter in your mind? That means it has been said, when you leave that place, it is still in your mind. It's still there. You are still ruminating over it. You are still investigating. You are still tracing the course. And when you have full understanding, is to pattern and conform yourself to it. That is the meaning of attain. Now, this means that whatever it is that you have attained here must reflect in your conduct. You will adjust yourself. That is what that last thing, to conform yourself to something. You adjust yourself to what you have learned, not the other way around. What many persons do is to try and adjust what they are learning to themselves. So you learn something or you read something and then you read through the whole thing and say, this one will not suit me. Or this one does not apply to me. Or this one will not help me. This is the one that will help me. And then, you now take that one and adjust it until it fits you. Do you understand? Whereas in attaining, you are the one that is supposed to conform and adjust yourself to what you are learning. So if there is a variance between what you are being taught and your action, who should conform? Who should conform? You. You. You are to change, adjust yourself, adjust your own mindset, adjust your expectations, adjust your conduct to what you are learning. That is what the Bible expects from you. That is what the Bible expects from you. That is what God expects from you. That is the reason why he gave you teachers, why there's so much emphasis on teaching in the redemptive work or in the work as Christians. Teaching, because you are expected that you will conform yourself or your actions to what you are learning. Otherwise, teaching or learning has not reached its expected end. Remember we started from, right? That learning has an end. It has a destination. And if until you conform yourself to what you have learned, it means you have not arrived at that destination of learning. All right, you see it's used in Mark 16:17. The signs shall follow. That same word attain there is used there. You see it's 2 Timothy 3:10. Fully known. That's the same word there. That's attained. That's what Paul was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:10. But that was fully known, my doctrine, my way of life, my conversation. That was fully known in the same word as attained. That means you have traced this course. You understand fully what I'm doing. You have conformed yourself to my doctrine. That is what it means. All right. So a major hindrance, now I'm going to rush a little bit. A major hindrance why we don't see this happening most times, is what the scripture refers to as being dull of hearing. Why we don't see this expected end in learning sometimes for believers is because they exhibit something that Hebrews termed as being dull of hearing. You see, let's go to Hebrews 5:11. Okay, was trying to describe my case there, but of verse 11, instead of whom we have many things to say and had to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. You see, we read it again in Hebrews 6:12, but before we get there, that word dull there is nothus, N-O-T-H-O-S, slow. It means to be slow, to be sluggish, to be indolent, to be languid, to be slothful, to be lazy, anyone you can pick. That word dull there means slow, sluggish, indolent, languid, slothful, lazy. And if you want to use it in a figurative sense, it means stupid. Figuratively. All right, so we'll see where it was used again. Hebrews 6:12. Let's try and be fast, please. Hebrews 6:12. Right, verse 11, let's read from 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, this is the same word, that's slothful there. It's the same word with the door. If you follow the book of Hebrews closely, you will know that the writer of Hebrews was trying from one thing to explain to them, right? And then he was telling them that in two different shades and different ways, this is the journey that you have been coming through since. But the journey was to Christ. All those things that you are holding on to were all types and shadows, but the end of that is Christ. So if you don't reach that end, it means you are dull or you are slow. Do you understand? That's the whole concept of what the book of Hebrews was saying. But of course, our focus is on just on this verse. Now, he was trying to say that there's an expected end. That's why he said, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. If that means a person that does not follow or get to this expected end, as you see in verse 11, that person is slow. That person is dull. Do you understand? That means for believers, when we don't get to the expected end of learning, you stick only to one particular place and you refuse to progress until that desired result, you are just what the Bible qualifies as slow. And that should not be the attitude we have towards learning. Remember what we read last week, James 1, right? What should be our attitude towards learning? What is the rectification for that? Like we said, not getting to the expected end or destination in learning is slothfulness, is laziness, or if you want to just be figurative about it, is stupidity. When it comes to learning, you are to exhibit alertness. James 1, we read that last week, James 1:19, wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And we defined that last week. So that was swift there. In fact, that is the only place I saw it used in that New Testament portions on the epistles. It means tachus, T-A-C-H-U-S, prompt, ready, speedy. As in swift, be swift to hear. It means to be prompt, to be ready, to be speedy, which is the opposite of that. So you must not, in learning or in hearing well, you must exhibit promptness. You must exhibit readiness. You must not be dull. You must not be lazy. You must not be unwilling to follow a matter through to the end. And what is that end in learning? A confirmation in your conduct. Do you get it? Are you following? Divine, have I lost you? I've lost you. Hey. We said in James 1:19, the believer must be swift to hear. We saw that last week. You must be ready, swift, prompt, eager to learn. Otherwise, you will become what the scripture calls as dull. And a person that is dull is someone that is not following a matter to the expected end. So there is an end in learning. There's a destination in learning, which is a confirmation of your conduct or your actions to what you have learned. And to be that, you must be swift to hear. Did you follow me now? All right. Thank you. All right. That is a summary of everything I've been saying. You see Mark 4:24. Pastor read that there. I don't have the Amplified Bible. When he said the amount of thoughts and attention you give to what you have learned or what you are hearing is what will determine what will come back to you. That means even though you are seeing actions in the scriptures or you read in the Bible that this is what a believer can do, or this, you just read so many things. It is the amount of thoughts and study and attention you give to those things you are reading and learning that will determine what comes back to you. If you are not giving the required or requisite amount of thoughts to those things, you cannot expect it to affect your conduct or your actions. That is trying to put in nothing and expect a lot. It never works. It never works. It never works. So how do we ensure that our hearing, learning correctly, reflects in our actions? Common sense guide. Common sense guide or practical ways is what we're going to look at. Number one, of course, you must pay full attention. You must be alert. You must be, for God, that's when you say quick to hear. You must be alert. The time for study or the time for the word is not when you now start feeling sleepy. Of course, you know that when you are feeling sleepy, you've already missed half of the information, right? But by the time you know some people when they are taking notes, when you read some notes, it's easy to know who slept off, especially during vigil. You just see somebody writing like this, you're writing, all of a sudden you have entered the next line and you're going, and then you just catch yourself and you just see one long stroke. Up. You just see space. Once you are not alert, you definitely will not get everything. So the first step to learn the word, or to ensure that you are learning correctly, to the end that it affects your actions and regulates it, is that you are alert. You are paying attention, full attention. And even some people, even if they are not sleeping off, their mind has slept. Their mind has, you know, there's this funny thing about wandering mind. It's very funny. You started with thinking one thing, though. Before you know, you have thoughts and thoughts. For example, what did Bookie, this gown Bookie is wearing to church today. Okay, no, in fact, like, oh, Bookie looks fine this morning. That gown, I have something like that, too. And that's what I wore to that woman's wedding. Like, okay, no, I don't have something like that. It was what I wanted to buy. Yeah, and I bought the red one. And but that red one is not as fine as I ever wanted to. In fact, it's not that red one I wore to this other occasion that this guy, has it not happened to you before? Has it not happened to you before? You started thinking from one thing. By the time you catch yourself, you now start retracing. Where did I actually start thinking about from? You now retrace. And all this time you're looking at me, oh, but your mind has done that journey. So wandering mind, by the time you are exhibiting that or acting that, do not expect a miracle that you will hear everything or you understand what is being taught. It doesn't work that way. You must train your mind to be focused. Because believe me, if you can listen attentively and catch what is being said, there is a guarantee that it will not leave you. Most times when pastor is teaching, what I can remember, if I can't pay more attention to the Lord, I will just remember how he did one exact, or how his hand moves like this, and then it just helps you to trigger a memory, and you remember something. Do you understand? You can remember an example because you are paying attention. From one thing you remember, you'll be able to get the whole thing. But if your mind just goes pam, pam, fluctuating like a pendulum clock, just go like this, like this, like this, at the end of the day, those are the persons that you ask, what was taught yesterday? And they are struggling to remember the topic. Ah. Okay. So the common sense rule, pay attention, pay attention. Pay attention. We all did it in school. Pay attention. It's not different. Listen fully. Number two, be quick to follow up. Actually, in a setting like ours, don't have gaps in your knowledge. For example, you came for understanding Genesis series 2. You were here for part 1 and part 2. You missed part 3, 4, 5. Then you came for part 6. And then listened to part 7 halfway online. And then you were here for part 9. You came late. And then part 10, you were not here. Can you say that you know what was taught there? If people are saying understanding Genesis series 2, can you say you know what was taught there? It's not possible. Because this series has they all link to one another. Once you miss one, it's almost probable that you might not understand fully what we are doing the next time. And then you come to church late and you've missed half of the teaching. What are you supposed to do? Do not allow gaps. Be quick to make up. Just as in, there's nothing stopping you from making it up that day. Be quick, because by the time you let it go and say, okay, next week, I'll do it next week. How many of you have gaps like that? I had one, I left one. And it's months now, I'm still trying to go back to it. Because I left the break too much that, okay, I'll go and do it. That's what happens. Once you don't do something immediately, it always happens. So when it comes to learning, a part will not help you. It is the whole. Especially for us that have series. Some of you might be looking at me like this now because you're not here for part one. If you leave gaps, you will not get the full understanding. And it's the full understanding that is necessary to conform your conduct or your actions. Otherwise, you will be half-baked or half-conformed. Imagine only one side has conformed and the other side is still the other side. You look disfigured or something. So ensure you get the full learning. Ensure you understand everything. All right, so number three, this one is very important. Very important. Very important. Do not allow extras. So quickly feeling, before you understand the word, before it sinks in, do not mix it with extras. There's an attitude where that I am willing and expecting seriously that it ends. That attitude of immediately the church ends, everybody just jumps up and they are just talking, and it's as if you have been waiting. Let the service end, I beg. Immediately it ends like, bah! Afana! You just talk. Abba! What is stopping you after like 5 minutes after service to sit down and reflect on what you have heard? Because by the time the word has not sinked in yet, you just fill it in with a lot of other things. By the time you leave this place and you're going home, you'll be trying to remember what was taught. Is it not true? That's not the truth. So have sense, and have sense for somebody else. If you don't want to, if you want to talk, don't use your talking to disturb somebody that might want to sit down and learn. Go over your notes. It'd be like somebody was asking that, why come you almost remember everything that was taught? If you are driving home, be thinking of what you have learned. You have, you know, we're talking about attain, investigate. You have asterisk, you have questions on your notes, asterisk it. By the time you see someone to discuss, the pastor was trying to teach us something a while back, that everything you learn on Sunday, look for somebody that same day to teach. Can you remember that instruction then? What was he supposed to build in you? So that it becomes a part of you. So that's why I said common sense, it's just common sense rule. A service ends. You don't be eager to just quickly switch to the other. I know we have reached the level of, yeah, we are men of the word, we are men of the spirit. We can do the spirit anytime. So even if we are playing, even if we are doing, does it affect anytime we want to bring we know. But when it comes to learning, for what you want something to be a part of you, you must take out time first. So nobody's saying you don't gist or play with each other or say hi, but at least just have some decorum. Sometimes after service, you just see everywhere just rowdy. So the kind of times I like to go and meet some people and say, hey, what was taught today? What did you hear? All right. And finally, as the world is coming, immediately seek out ways or areas in your life that you need to conform to and work on it. So the world is not coming for you to fill up your notes and say, in the final assembly, our notes are like this. But no matter how big the note you buy, in 2 months it will fill up. In fact, sometimes in a week we have up to 10 teachings. We just teach and teach and teach. What thought and attention are you giving to it? Learning is not for you to fill up notes or to be proud of the fact that you learn the word a lot. It is to reflect in your actions. So if no matter how much you learn on joy and rejoicing, if it has not become a part of you, that no matter you are now accustomed to it, you have not learned. No matter how much you learn about proper songs, you know, for example, you see believers before then, when I just started learning the word then, when we were understanding redemption, you see there's this song I used to like, Shilekwayomi, Baba Shilekwayomi, Ibanujeo, Jekotino Silemi, Mamunu Midum, Baba Odile Ayo. When I say, Orayomi, I don't know the meaning of the song. I just like it. Until one day I asked for the meaning of the song and they told me that I opened the house of my... I was like, wow, this is a lovely song. And I remember there was a day that somebody offended me and I sat down with this song and I was crying and I was saying that God filled me with joy with this song. That don't shut the door of my joy, has it? Open the door of my joy. Let me be happy. When we learned the word... But when we understood redemption, I realized that, okay, joy is a part of the believer. Yeah, sometimes I see God just, I would just be on my own and I would just be, she's like, oh, I don't know. So that I would have sang the whole song, final pause, like, what's happening exactly? Calm down, you're not supposed to sing this one. Yeah. I would have been looking for, if it was English, I would have modified the song in a way that I would have built, because I'm not in Europe, I don't know how to do it, so I just left. But the song, I just like it a lot. It took me, honestly, it took me at least 3 years for that song to just stop popping out. Do you understand? Because that is until I get to the point that sometimes months I've never even thought about it. So I'm like, wow. How did I replace it? I had to now learn that, okay, sing in tongues, bring out songs. And it was not easy for me initially, but with more practice, I realized that, okay, it's even easier for me to bring out songs per time than to even be trying to look for Shilekwayomi to make me happy. So learning must reflect in your actions. You cannot say, I know the word, I know redemption, I know that I'm eternally saved, I know this, and then you're singing, oh Lord, I'll set my heart on fire for you, I want to align my heart to you, and then you are crying, and everybody's saying that this song is not proper, and you are saying, no, don't judge her. The song is saying you not interpret a meaning and give it a meaning that the person that sang the song, you don't give it. When for such persons, we know that they have not learned. We just know that the head knowledge or the things that you know, that when I'm the righteousness of God, you see the Lord now, I was in redeemed for a while, you see, I'm the righteousness of God, I know who I am, everybody has trumps and we're happy. This one, you know the way redeemed, there are praises like this, your body will sweat. The next person that picks the microphone, say, oh, Petrel, let us pray now. We have to rededicate our heart to Lord. You know, we are all sinners, we are all this one, and everybody's still the same people. Oh Lord, wash us, make us clean. That person, of course, has not learned. Even though you are saying you are righteous in Christ, do we actually agree? You say, yes, now righteousness is by Christ, it's not by your action. They know. But tell the same person, when you lead a song, create in me a clean, and purify me. Purify. Oh Lord. So that I may worship you. You can't worship. You can't worship, oh, you have to be purified so that you can worship. And when you try to explain that, those people are just funny. Those people are funny. When you explain that song is wrong, they will still agree with you that it's true. It's true. But let me just sing it like that. Don't worry. God knows when I'm singing. He knows what I'm saying. Such a person has not learned. Okay? So learning must reflect. Must reflect in your action. It must reflect in your conduct. That is what the scripture says. All right, let's see Colossians 2. This should be the last scripture. The second to last scripture, so we'll move on. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now you are saying, you see clearly, Paul's instruction is that walk as you have been taught, right? And that word walk there, peripatio, it means to make one's way, to make progress, or to live, or to regulate your life. So as you have received Christ, walk in him, let it regulate your life. Let it be how the path with which you walk on. Do you understand? So it is your walk. Walking him is not walking in the light. Oh, walk, and then you're jumping in the light and running in the light. That is not it. Oh, it is that you pattern your life, you pattern your actions, or you pattern your way of life, your mode of doing things as you have been taught. As you have been taught. Now that word rooted there means to be established, to be built up. That is the goal. That is the goal. That is the goal. To be firm, fully planted, that you cannot be shaken in what you have learned. And we know that for this to happen, you must what? Continue in it. You must be assured of what you have learned. You must be assured of who you have learned it from. And you must continue in it. No breaks, no holiday. This is so important that anything that wants to take you away from what you have learned, the Bible tells us to avoid it. Romans 16. That is the last scripture. Romans chapter 16. Okay. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And do what? And do what? And do what? Avoid them. So it is so important that Paul said anything that wants to take you out of this, anyone telling you contrary things to what you have learned, or anyone trying to influence you contrary to what you have learned, whoever the person is, whether it's a bishop or a man of God or the most senior apostle, anybody that brings you contrary facts or contrary things to what you have learned, you are to do what? Avoid. Because you might think that, it doesn't work on me, I would just, no. One person discussing with you and reasoning with you and saying that, look at it this way. Now, what do you think? It has effect. It has an effect. So when they said, be not deceived, that means do not err, do not get carried away. It can actually happen. Evil communication. can corrupt. I'm sure we were here that day, and all the rephrasing we did in church can corrupt good manners. So don't be proud in your own eyes and say, no problem, I can entertain various thoughts and it will not change what I believe. Don't be deceived though. Don't end up being carried away. Bible tells you whatever this being rooted in what you have learned is important. Allowing it shape you and walking in it is important. And anyone or anything or any doctrine that is contrary to these things that you have learned, avoid it. All right? Do we understand? I think this is the conclusion of heed your hearing. So have we seen the tracing? I have to trace it from what you hear down to ensuring that you understand it, you do not misrepresent or misinterpret, you do not strive around with words or try to interpret the person's mood or mindset when the person is not. If you are not subbed, don't pick a sub as yours. Okay? We saw that last week, right? Pick the learning and adjust yourself thereit. And so we saw today now that those things you have learned, a proper hearing and understanding should reflect in your actions, because that is the goal of learning. The goal of learning is not to fill up your notes. The goal of learning is that you learn the supernatural law that we can be confident and be assured of the fact that you wake up us, you drop us in a desert anywhere where our minds have been fooled of this reality, that we can exhibit the same. That is why much teaching is important. That's why we teach much, to ensure that you confirm much. All right, just bow your head and pray. And make a commitment again to give yourself to learn. You give yourself to learning, that your actions, so think about ways or things that you have learned and or things you've been instructed in, and there is not yet a corresponding adjustment in your action. There is not a corresponding, in fact, it's as if the more the world is coming, why do I feel like I'm okay? There's a person here, actually, I don't want to call your name, but I just receive that. It's as if on the particular subject we've discussed here, it's as if the more the word, the instructions come, or the teachings come in that light, the more it serves to harden your heart in the contrary area. The more the instruction comes concerning this particular issue, the more your mind is strengthens your resolve in the opposite direction. Retrace your step. The word does not adjust to you. No, you adjust to the word. Whether it's convenient to you or not, you adjust to the word. Do not be like Pharaoh that say, because the consistent coming of the word now made him his heart hard. No, you are not like that. You are a believer. You have a heart that is soft, a heart that is malleable towards God, a heart that can receive correction. So the consistent and the constant teaching, you should see it as a way to give you strength to move and do what you should do, not to harden your heart in the opposite direction. Not harden your heart in the opposite direction. When I'm quiet, let's sing the song, I give myself to learning. Not to harden your heart in the opposite direction. Not to harden your heart in the opposite direction. Until there is a confirmation and reflection of all that you have learned in your actions, learning must not stop. Learning must not stop. Learning must not stop. All right, I studied the word. Let's take that as a commitment or as a rededication of our priorities again. Hallelujah.
I give myself to learning. I give myself to learning of the word. I give myself to learning. I give myself to learning. I give myself to learning of the word.
All right, let's sing it together.
I study the word. I give myself. I give myself to learning of the world.
One more time,
I study the word.
this song makes more meaning to you now that you understand the meaning of learning. So when we say we give ourselves to learning, it is not a mental declaration. It is not a mental learning. We are saying we'll give ourselves until we walk in it, until it adjusts our life, until it adjusts our conduct, until it becomes the area or the way we pattern our life. So that is the purpose or the end result of study. So learning goes beyond just receiving information, but until there is a corresponding shift and adjustment in your actions, you have not learned. All right, one more time. Let's just say it again.
Study the word.
I give myself to learning.
I give myself to learning.
I give myself to hearing.
I give myself to learning of the word.
I pay good attention to what I hear.
Give myself.